Okay, let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse number 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Verse number 9 again. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Well, last time we got together, we looked at the fact, and it's the third bullet point on the slide there, that the blessed truth here is you are not in the flesh if you're born again and the Spirit of God dwells in you. You may walk in the flesh, but you are not in the flesh. That's a distinction that we looked at with a couple of scriptures there on the slide, and we won't belabor that tonight. But the last bullet point there, if the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, the Holy Spirit is the seal that we have. Let's look in Acts chapter 19 and see something that's very interesting there, something that Paul comes across in his missionary journeys. And we must remember now that this is early on. The Lord Jesus Christ, of course, has already been risen from the dead, glorified, and ascended. The Word of God is not yet inscripturated, so there's no New Testament canon of Scripture. And so there's people all scattered around that Paul encounters that have heard something about the Lord Jesus, but they don't have the complete story. And Paul happens on some of these, and it's, I think, going to be very interesting, because I think there's still people out there today that aren't familiar with the Word of God, even though they might have it to hand, that might be in the same condition as these disciples that Paul finds. So let's look in Acts chapter 19 then, beginning in verse number 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on the Lord Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12, and he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading concerning things concerning the kingdom of God. Now, I could have stopped before that last verse, verse number 8, but I didn't, because these receive the sign gifts. And to just underscore the purpose of the sign gifts, they were always for the unbelieving Jew. And that's why we find out that immediately after this, Paul goes into the synagogue, and doubtless these 12 disciples were Jewish, almost, converts. Now, what's interesting about this? Well, we read in Romans chapter 8, verse number 9, if any man have not the Spirit of God, he's none of his. Well, these people didn't have the Spirit, but yet they were disciples. Let's take a closer look at this. In verse number 1, we find that Paul is doing his travels here, and Apollos is at Corinth now, his helper, and he comes to Ephesus. What's kind of interesting about Ephesus? How about there was a church founded there, and Paul writes an epistle to the church at Ephesus? Well, here's some early work at the city of Ephesus. And so the scripture says then in verse number 1, he finds certain disciples. Now, sometimes we think that disciples are Christians, and Christians can be disciples, but what does the word actually mean? Actually, Christians ought to be disciples.
Are they learners?
Yes, mathetes, or learners. They're learners. So we have some men here, about 12, that have heard some things concerning the ministry of John the Baptist, but they don't yet have the whole story. So, they are learners. And Paul asks them because he immediately discerns now, they're disciples, yes, but they don't have salvation yet in Christ Jesus. And so, he asks them this question. Verse number 2, have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? Remember, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Well, Paul's spiritual discernment tells him that they don't, but he understands that they are disciples. Well, what is it that they do know? Before we come to that, let's clear up something in verse number 2 here that's a problem in the King James. The King James has them to say, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Well, of course, they had heard about the Spirit of God, because if they're Jews, the Old Testament speaks of the Spirit of God over and over and over. What they really said is, we haven't heard that the Holy Ghost is given to those that have put their trust in Christ Jesus. And when you look at it that way, that makes sense. For a Jew to say that he's never heard of the Spirit of God, that would be most unusual. Certainly they did. They just haven't heard that if they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, they would have received the Holy Spirit. Now we can press on to verse number 3. Paul now asks them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Now, baptism is used two ways in the Scripture. What are the two ways? Let's refresh ourselves here.
Did John baptize for repentance?
He did. So, baptism can mean identification, or it can mean the rite of dipping in water. Right? Yes. Well, unto what were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Do you suppose that just meant they went to John and got dunked in water? Or do you think maybe they heard John preaching and they believed what he said, and so he baptized them as the seal of them believing what he said? Well, see, they haven't got the whole story, have they? They actually have repented of their sins. And doesn't the Scripture say that the goodness of God leads you to repentance, leads man to repentance? And isn't repentance necessary for salvation? There's one small problem. What might that be? Concerning John's baptism.
He's still looking forward to Christ.
Uh-huh. But had they really repented, in the biblical sense of repentance? The goodness of God leads you to repentance, but who grants repentance? Is it something that they could do themselves? Or is repentance the gift of God? Of course. And how is it to be received? Through receiving Jesus Christ. So you see, their heart's in the right place, but they aren't quite there yet. So Paul says, well, verse number 4, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him who should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. Now, did John preach that? Yes, he most certainly did. Absolutely. He did preach it. But what do you suppose their problem is? Now, remember, they're at Ephesus. They're in Greece. Yes. Do you think that it's possible that they had gone to Jerusalem, as they were supposed to do during certain of the feast days, and they heard about this John the Baptist, and they went and heard him, and then they returned to their own place, and they don't know the rest of the gospel story? A lot has transpired since they have come and gone. Well, in verse number 4, Paul says, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, how do you think that this use of baptized is? Clumsy grammar on my part. They identified with Christ. They heard, this is what John was baptizing us unto, but we haven't taken that step and put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So they identify themselves with Christ. Do you suppose that they were baptized in water? Of course they were, because isn't that the commandment of the Lord? So we have some speaking in tongues here, and we're going to look at another scripture to compare with this, because some people might say, well, you have to be baptized in water, and then you receive the Holy Spirit. Oh, we're going to see some people that receive the Holy Spirit, and then they're baptized in water afterwards. Important distinction. So, in verse number 5, they hear the whole story. This is what John was talking about, and here's who he was talking about. Well, that's good news to them, because they are disciples. They just haven't heard the whole story yet. Well, now they do hear the whole story, and of course, immediately they identify themselves with Christ. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Well, they may not have been there the day that Jesus came to be baptized of John, but they would have heard that there was one coming after him. He was baptizing unto repentance, and what did that mean? What was John's baptism of repentance all about? First of all, who was the message to? The nation of Israel, yes. And what were they supposed to repent of? What were they supposed to turn away from?
The law into grace?
Well, no, because Jesus hadn't come yet. Pardon?
Religion.
Yeah, to turn away from their false Judaistic religion and prepare their hearts for the coming of the Messiah and to receive the Messiah. John is the forerunner of the Lord Jesus. He announces his coming. That was the custom in the Orient, that when some big high mucky muck came along, they'd always send runners out in front of them to announce their coming. Here comes the king, or whatever it is. Well, John has the biggest announcement in all the world. In the fullness of time, God is sending forth his son, Israel. You need to get ready and turn away from all your wicked ways, turn away from your wicked religion, and receive your Messiah. That was John's message. Well, the problem with these disciples is they hadn't heard the whole story. Jesus, the Messiah, was rejected by his own and crucified, was buried, and rose again from the dead, and ascended into glory, and sent the Holy Spirit. They're not saying, we don't even know if there is a Holy Spirit. They're saying, we didn't know that the Holy Spirit could be received by men. We haven't heard that part of the story. But as soon as they hear it, what do? They immediately put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then right away, what happens? Verse number 6. The Holy Ghost comes upon them, and they speak with tongues, but do you suppose they're also indwelt by the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit just came upon them to energize them for this ministry, but that's not the seal of the Holy Spirit. It's Christ in you, not Christ upon you, the hope of glory. And that's why I read that additional verse there, that they went into the synagogues, because they received the sign gift. Don't you suppose that was good for Paul to have that? Those 12 disciples are there, and they're probably going to go into the synagogue, and do you suppose they might speak in tongues there? And this is a sign to who? The unbelieving Jew. Let's turn back to Acts chapter 10. And we'll compare this scripture with what we just read. Acts chapter 10, verse number 21. Acts chapter 10. And verse number 21, we're going to have to do a little bit of reading here, but you'll get the idea. Verse number 21, Acts chapter 10. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent to him from Cornelius and said, Behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause wherefore you are come? What are you bunch of Gentiles doing coming knocking on my door? Verse number 22. And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel sent for thee to send for thee into his house to hear words of thee. Do you think anybody that would receive Christ is going to get a messenger? Yes. Verse 23. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. What kind of brethren do you suppose they were ethnically? They're Jews, because Peter wasn't in the habit of running around with Gentiles. Verse 24. And on the morrow they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. As he talked with him, he went in and found that many that were come together. And he said unto them, You know how that it is unlawful for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. That'll take you back to the sign that Peter got. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. Peter doesn't get it, does he? Well, what do you want from me? Well, what do you think, Peter? Verse number 30. Then Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting unto this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. Do you suppose Peter has stumbled on to some disciples that haven't heard the story yet? Same scene. Verse 31. And said Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. First Peter's heard of it. What do you want from me? What am I doing here? Verse 33. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Oh, it's starting to dawn on Peter now. Verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation. He that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The words which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, that word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism with John preached. Here we are back to John's baptism again. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. What does Peter say in verse number 37? The word I say, you know. Do you think Cornelius has heard something about Jesus? But if he'd heard the whole story, would he have needed Peter? No. Here's somebody that is a disciple, but he hasn't heard the whole story yet. And does he have the Holy Spirit? No. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Do you think God is going to allow that to stand because he's not willing that any should perish? Okay. Verse number 39. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness, and through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, fell on them. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and they prayed him to tarry certain days. Here's a group of Gentiles now. They haven't heard the whole story. The story's been published in the regions, as Peter said. You know, this has been put out there, but apparently Cornelius hadn't got the word. He hadn't got the whole word, but he knew there was more to it. God didn't let him stumble around in the dark. God wanted to seal him too. But isn't it interesting that while Peter yet spake in verse number 44, they haven't had any water yet, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they began to speak in tongues. A sign gift again to who? This time it's to the believing Jews, isn't it? Always the Jews. Do you suppose the Holy Ghost just fell upon them to anoint them for this service to be a witness to the Jews? Or do you think that the witness that Peter gave of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ was a witness to Cornelius and his family? Seems like the witness went both ways this day, didn't it? Do you think that Cornelius was sealed by the Holy Ghost? Of course he was. Well, why did we do this little exercise? Well, I'm sort of convinced that we have the same sort of a problem today, because in too many of the mainline churches, the gospel, if it's preached at all, is obfuscated so heavily and Galatianized so heavily that there are people sitting in there that might want to know the truth, but they haven't heard it yet. They haven't received the Holy Spirit yet because they haven't heard. Now, do you suppose God's going to let them continue like that?
No,
they're going to hear the word. Somebody is going to be the Peter that goes to them, and somebody's going to be the Paul that goes to them and said, you know, you've only got half a gospel. Isn't it interesting that the crazy medics say that they have a full gospel, and yet, in all of their rantings about the work of the Holy Spirit, they tend to forget to preach the real, true gospel, or they obfuscate it? Do you suppose there's people like that? What are true believers supposed to be equipped to do? Exactly what Peter does here? Exactly what Paul did in the verse that we just got done reading? That's why we do what we do here, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. That's what pastor teachers are supposed to do, because they can't be every place. But if we all work together, we can cover a lot more ground. Isn't that true? Of course. They never appropriated the finished work of Christ to themselves, as the bullet point says, because they never understood what it was until Paul. So they were sincere disciples, but they were only religious disciples. Does that make sense? Let's pray. Our dear Lord, we do want to thank you that you have those that are able